You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping out and checking me out. And I hope that you enjoy and that you come back. Keep listening, sharing my content. This is important content in the day and age we are. I'm recording this in August of 2021. And we're going to start with the Bible because it's very relevant to the video I'm going to be sharing and the things that are going on right now. So listen to this. This is Job chapter 2.
Job 2. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, that they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great.
All right, so that is chapter 2. And I thought it was really interesting to start with that, because if you listen to that, Satan has to get like permission to mess with the people that God has got. I mean, he's like, you have a hedge around this person. Well, have you considered my man Job? He said, test him. But he's like, he gave him boundaries. You can't take his life. So there was boundaries and what Satan could do. And I think we live in such an evil world, and we don't see the evil spiritual aspect of what's going on in the world right now. And so I'm going to send this other video, start playing this other video. I just want you to think of that as you listen to this guy. I can't believe he actually don't know who he is. I don't know how to find him. I can't believe it's gotten this. He was able to share this on Facebook. Hope I can find it, because, you know, Facebook is so highly censored. So he has gotten a lot of listens. All right.
News that broke earlier this morning, talking about the fact that the FDA decided to go ahead and move forward with their approval of this unfully tested injection that is being foisted upon the American people, as it were, and being foisted upon people around the world. What I wanted to do, though, was actually go a step further, go a bit deeper. The title of this video is actually FDA Fake Dangerous Additives. And that's titled that way very specifically because we have to do first, in order to understand where we are, is to understand how all these pieces actually fit together. So, the announcement actually broke around 8:30 this morning, and I was already out the door at work. But what I took my time doing the rest of the day, the rest of the afternoon, as I could, was actually look at the verbiage of the letter that was sent out itself to actually understand and ascertain best what took place. And before I talk about everything else I'm going to talk about, I'm going to go ahead and read to you verbatim what this letter actually says. So the letter says, Dear Mrs. Harkins, this is actually sent from the head of the US FDA. It says, on February 4th, 2020, pursuant to Section 564B1C of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services determined that there is a public health emergency that has a significant potential to affect national security or the health and security of United States citizens living abroad, and that involves the virus that causes coronavirus disease 2019. Now, what it does then, it actually starts to outline, and this is a 13-page long letter, mind you. It goes on to outline exactly what rationale they choose to provide for this rubber stamp approval. And for those of you who don't know, rubber stamp approval is essentially an approval that is given without really the due diligence needed to make sure that it needs to be authorized. It's something that is done more or less because you are aligned with a certain individual, certain groups or organization. I could go on and on and on. That's what a rubber stamp approval is, which is why no one really was surprised when this approval came down, because there were so many individuals out there who were already reporting this as if it was fact. Oh, we're going to hear that this is going to be approved on Monday. And you only have that degree of certainty if you already know what the outcome is going to be. Now, what do you think would have happened? They essentially had to hand this decision down. Otherwise, the FDA would have more or less been deemed culpable in coercing a large number of people to actually submit to this infusion. But I digress. Let's keep going. What I'm going to do is actually jump down to page 2 of 13. And page 2 starts off with the following. On August 23rd, 2021, FDA approved the Biologics License Application, BLA, submitted by BioNTech Manufacturing GmbH for COMIRNATY for active immunization to prevent COVID-19 caused by SARS-CoV-2 in individuals 16 years of age and older. All right? So I'm going to go ahead and keep going now. But the problem is, the reason these documents are so long and the reason the messaging is as intentional and as direct and instantaneous as it is because the mainstream media and even the powers that be know it's very easy to regurgitate a particular phrase. Oh, FDA approval, FDA approval. That's because they're betting that you're not actually going to dig deeper to understand what the documents actually say. I continue. As we go further and further down, I'm going to skip a few pages because a lot of it's talking about the makeup of this infusion, the makeup of this and that. I'm not going to belabor the point there. I get down to page 8, which talks about conditions of authorization, right? It talks about all the conditions of this new authorization that they've handed down. What's really interesting is here on page 10, actually, it lists out a bunch of different criterion to which Pfizer BioNTech is going to be held liable for. On page 10, it says the following.
When did you start taking...
Oh, sorry. Ad. And it... Facebook has stupid ads, so this guy must have a big following that he actually gets ads, because this is taken from Facebook. So, give me a second. And then the ad's a really good ad, because it's Dr. Christine Nuprup. Here you go. Here he is.
It says conditions related to printed matter, advertising, and promotion. What it says is, this product has not been approved or licensed by FDA, but has been authorized for emergency use by the FDA under an EUA, which is Emergency Use Authorization, to prevent coronavirus disease 2019 in individuals 12 years of age and older. All right? So as you go down to the very end of the document, the final paragraph says as follows, and I quote, duration of authorization. This has to do with the duration of this new authorization that was just handed down. It says the following. This EUA will be effective until the declaration that circumstances exist justifying the authorization of the emergency use of drugs and biological procedures during the COVID-19 pandemic is terminated under Section 564B2 of the Act, or the EUA is revoked under Section 564G of the Act. I'm going to break all that down for you. It's intended to be more or less medical jargon on purpose. It's because they do not want you to understand what they're actually saying. More or less, if you parse this entire document, and I read the entire thing, all 13 pages, is that what they have more or less done is said, we are going to extend this emergency use authorization. That's what this document actually says. 13 pages. You have to dig to find it and read through a bunch of other jargon you don't need to know to understand what they've said. Let's understand why they have taken this tack. We already know that there's a bunch of entities and organizations throughout this country, my own organization that I'm employed by currently, that is moving to mandate some sort of rendering of your own medical records indicating whether you have or have not received this compliance infusion. And that's very intentional, but you have to also realize that a lot of what the FDA has actually done over the years has not been above board and has not been the best interest of the American people or even the world at large. If you look at some of the items that have been approved by the FDA, you'll find items like nitrates, like nitrites, high fructose corn syrup. You'll find aspartame, phenylalanine, all these other drugs, more or less, that have been pushed into our food supply over a very long period of time. You know, the list is also going to include things like thalidomide, which is a drug that actually was used for pregnant women in the 50s and 60s. That people thought was going to help with nausea, but actually contributed to massive numbers of birth defects, severe birth defects. These are all things that have been approved. What we have to do is actually sit here and realize that the unfortunate truth is that these organizations, these entities, do not have your best interest at heart. And that's a very tough pill to swallow. And I use that term very intentionally. It's because what you have to understand is that they need you to become consumers of their product or whatever they're trying to sell you. But the only way they can do that is if they can somehow secure emergency use authorization, EUA. But how do you secure that in the first place? You do that by thoroughly squelching anything else that is deemed to be even somewhat effective against whatever plague you claim to be combating. We all remember there was actually a doctor here in Houston, Texas by the name of Dr. Stella Emanuel. Dr. Stella Emanuel actually was touting the efficaciousness of other drugs, other substances that actually were able to help. And she actually had the research that showed that she was able to treat other individuals who were suffering from this plague with other drugs. But you can't get emergency use authorization unless you make sure that your drug is the only drug that's been approved. And how did this drug get approved in the first place? There's lots of talk around the election cycles about, holding Big Pharma accountable, and every entity or each individual running does their best to actually posture themselves as the person who has the best interests of the downtrodden American at heart, the individuals who are suffering from debilitating diseases who need to have some sort of reasonable pricing in place so they can secure whatever medications they are seeking. And what we've seen the left do over a very long period of time is claimed to be that benevolent entity. They want to help everyone out, right? That's what they want to do. But when you understand that individuals who are even in charge of the FDA actually have some skeletons in their closet as well and have some sordid political ties, you better understand how the game is played, as it were. Now, the acting commissioner of the FDA is a woman by the name of Janet Woodcock, I believe her name is. She actually will not be acting as in that capacity for very much longer because she has actually some allegations against her about how she was able to sketchily push through an Alzheimer's drug. I believe the name of the drug was Aduhelm, and she was able to push that through even though the expert advisory committee recommended against it being approved. They got it approved anyway. This is Janet Woodcock. Even before Janet Woodcock, you have individuals like Scott Gottlieb, who was the head of or the acting commissioner of the FDA from 2017 to 2019. These are under the Trump years, I will add that fact. But what you understand is that Scott Gottlieb was on the board of directors for Pfizer. So you see how all this plays itself out. Additionally, there's over 70 members, roughly 70 members of the CCP, which in a data leak was discovered actually were investors in Pfizer, as it were. So you begin to see how this all is amalgamated into one large insidious entity that is hell-bent on enforcing all of these mandates, hell-bent on forcing you via threat of loss of employment, even under threat of the loss of medical care, to take an infusion that was cooked up in about 6 to 9 months. Now, people all the time say that people who support President Trump, people who support America First, that we are in some sort of a cult And I question and counter them with this. Anyone who watched Trump's recent speech in Alabama, where he had a rally, knows that there was one particularly awkward point in that speech in which he actually was starting to tout these infusions. And the crowd let him know they were not fans of that, as well they should have. That's right. When you have a cult, the number one criteria for being in a cult is always, always, always taking whatever the cult leader has to say as gospel. And that one minor interaction in and of itself proves individuals who are on the side of America First, individuals who are self-proclaimed patriots, we are not going to follow lockstep with something that we know has deleterious side effects.
There we go.
And if you look at the side effects of all of these things that the FDA has even approved in the past, you see that they have been linked to having carcinogenic properties. You see they've been linked to fatty liver disease. They've been linked to obesity. And if it really was about the public health, the last thing you want to do is sit there and wait for an entity to give some sort of rubber stamp approval before you actually ingest something into your body. If you look through the documentation of what this infusion is, it does mention mRNA, and anybody who knows worth their salt knows what that means. But more or less, we've gotten to the point where there are so many individuals who have begun to view the government and governmental agencies as if they are their de facto parents. One of the quotes I actually love the most is a quote that actually anyone really knows at this point, and it's the most terrifying phrase in the English language is, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." We have people now who, instead of taking their own health into their own hands,
that's right,
they are more apt to turn to an entity and wait for that entity to tell them what they should or should not do.
Oof.
That's kind of why we're in this situation that we're in now. We have all these people talking about, oh, body positivity, body positivity. If it's about your health, then you should be rightfully suspicious of an agency, this being the FDA, that actually went out of their way to approve substances that they knew had side effects such as cardiovascular disease or rampant obesity. You should have known that that's something that you should take a closer look at. But because we've been lulled to sleep, a lot of the populace has been lulled to sleep, now people feel as if they are able to shirk their own personal responsibilities to maintain healthy lifestyles and expect that there's some government agency that really has their best interests at heart. And anyone who knows anything knows the government is not here to do that. The government is in bed with Big Pharma. The government wants you to become a lifelong consumer of Big Pharma's products, which is why, more or less, the government works in lockstep with these agencies. And that's why we see all this crosstalk between the agencies, is because the government knows if they can get you hooked on whatever, if they can get you to have some sort of even terrible reaction, then odds are they can maybe say, oh, we're so sorry about this. We'll give you some money and a settlement or whatever. That's why you see all those commercials on late night TV saying if you've been exposed to X, Y, or Z, then you might be entitled to financial compensation. That's just the facts. And if what's really interesting is if you note that a lot of the drug commercials that we see here in America and in the West, they actually are not even allowed to be run in some other countries because of those long disclaimers that you hear that kind of goes in one ear and out the other, where someone is speed reading all the adverse side effects. If you want to know what side effects are, there are ways to actually go and get them and understand what they actually are. And the best way to find that is actually the VAERS report. Anyone can look that up for themselves and see the immense number of problems that people have had with this infusion since it was rolled out. But that information is all too readily squelched and stifled by the mainstream media powers that be. And it is also even doubly insidious because these corporations, Big Pharma, they are not being held liable for this. They are indemnified. Therefore, if something terrible does happen to you or to a loved one, they are not going to be held financially culpable for that. More or less, they are giving you something that was cooked up very quickly. They're telling you to take their word for it, that it's okay. And I'd ask this question. If we were able to find a cure, ostensibly a cure, for this plague sweeping the country in 6 to 9 months, what's the holdup on all these other diseases that we've had 30, 40, 50 years to find cures for?
And the answer I already kind of touched on earlier. It's because it does them no good to find a way to actually wipe out a plague. It does them no good to actually close the book on any sort of disease. Because if they do, then you never need them again. And they want their customers. Trust me, even though you're not paying for this infusion out of pocket, it's being paid for. Oh, the government will find a million ways to Sunday to garnish some money from the taxes that you pay them, that you have to pay them, in order to finance this aura of subterfuge that really has permeated our entire lifestyle at this point. When you think about it, the most sobering realization is the fact that we have been poisoned, more or less, for most of our lives, either with or without our knowledge. Anyone who knows anything about Monsanto knows the role that they played in making sure that everything that we've eaten or drank, probably for the last several decades now, has been tainted in one way or another. So now is when we have enough people actually waking up and actually being willing to hold these individuals, organizations accountable to say, you know, you may have tried to poison me in the past, but now that I'm fully awake, I'm going to do my due diligence to understand what you're putting in my body before I just roll up my sleeve and trust that you have my best interests at heart. That is why this awakening is so powerful, but also why it is so viciously countered by our adversaries and by individuals in positions of power in these big pharma companies. They do not want you to know what you're doing to them. And that should scare anyone. Anyone with the brain should want to know what is being put into their own bodies. But the fact is, if you have an organization like the FDA that is obsessed with injecting you or infusing you or your food supply or your water supply with fake dangerous additives. And just bear in mind, the additives I mentioned before is just a tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more research where that came from. But this is just all about educating you. People sometimes will ask, why do you do these videos? I'm doing this because I want to give you another weapon in your arsenal. Mm-hmm. Anything that I talked about tonight, you can look up for yourself. It's all up in my head. This is all from memory. And I can do this confidently because I know the facts. But if you have someone out there who does not know the facts, it is of paramount importance that you do your part to actually disseminate good information that they're not going to get anywhere else.
That's right.
It's up to us now. We can't rely on the mainstream media or anyone else. We rely on ourselves. We, the people, have to become citizen journalists in order to continue pounding that rock.
That's right.
You might lose some friends. You might lose some followers. Doesn't really matter about that. What matters is the truth getting out as expeditiously as possible.
Yep.
And I'm just one part in that cause. But all of y'all out there, I want you to share this.
This is Damian Bryant Felder.
Someone might still be on the fence because there is still hope. Trust me, the government is not too happy with these numbers we're seeing roll in about people who have complied or have not complied. We need to keep it that way. We're seeing people across the country actually rise up.
There you go.
Across the globe even rise up. And we're seeing it in even more dangerous areas to personal freedom, such as places like France and Australia. They're doing their part. But here in America, we can do ours. And we have not had to get as violent, I would say, in some cases. We've not had to get as vociferous, in many cases, as our brother and sisters who are over there in Australia and France yet. But if we continue to roll over and kick the can down the curb,
that's right,
kick the can down the road, I should say, then one day that's going to come to our shores as well. And it's important that we make sure that we share information with people to keep it from ever getting that bad. So that's the thought for tonight. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Let me know where you're watching from.
All right, so
the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act and the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program and a vaccine court. I ask you, if vaccines didn't injure people, you wouldn't need all this, right?
Right.
So what is this?
It's very simple. In 1986, the pharmaceutical industry basically blackmailed the government. They said, we're getting sued so much for injuries on children from our vaccines that we're going to stop making vaccines. They said this to President Reagan. We're going to stop making vaccines unless you protect us from liability, from lawsuit. And so Ronald Reagan signed the 1986 Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, and what it did was said you can no longer ever sue a pharmaceutical industry if their vaccine product injures your child or yourself. Instead, we're going to tax every vaccine, we're going to put it in a bank account, and every child that gets injured will go through this quasi-court called a vaccine court, and you'll show up and we'll just pay your children out. It was supposed to be a non-adversarial court where basically you bring your child in their wheelchair or whatever state you can get from the court to show, look at what the vaccine did to my child, and you would get paid. It's become much more difficult, and as Andy said, this MMR study was used to kick every child that was claiming that the autism was caused by the MMR vaccine. They used this study to say, nope, that's not true. Look at the study, and 5,000 children got kicked out of this vaccine court. Their parents are stuck with a $5 million bill. The CDC says it costs $5 million to raise a child with autism. So now the parents have to fend for themselves. The government won't step up and say, geez, even though it happened and started the day after that vaccine, we don't care. This paper proves it. This fraudulent paper proves it. But think about the future cost for the United States of America. If you don't think this issue is going to affect you, my child's healthy, I don't have to worry about it. Think about the education system. We're watching honors classes disappear as we're watching these special needs classes explode in every single school. Sports programs are being sucked up so that these special needs children can have single teachers for each one of them or every two kids. We can't afford this. And then think about $5 million per child. There's now 1 million children that have been diagnosed with autism since this fraudulent paper came out, this fraudulent study saying this vaccine's safe. Multiply 1 million children times $5 million. Do you think there's any, is there an insurance program that can cover that? Who's going to pay for that? And this year alone, over 100,000 children born will ultimately be diagnosed with autism. That means we're building cities of autistic children. They're going to be autism adults, and the United States taxpayer, it's going to bankrupt us. And when you look at this and you say, oh my God, this is a man-made disease and we could stop this, and we're not, because we're more concerned with the interests of a pharmaceutical industry, as an industry we cannot sue. I mean, it's so corrupt.
Think about the business model for the industry.
It's brilliant for them.
It's brilliant. There's no liability, maximum profits, mandated vaccines. And so let's put as many vaccines as we can into the system, get them approved on the schedule, and we have no liability at all. There are some 270 new vaccines in the pipeline. So if you think this doesn't affect you, then you better watch out.
All right. Those are the videos I have. Let's make sure I stop that for today. And I'm going to label this. I loved his title. Love this guy's title. FDA fake. What did he say? A fake.
Awkward tonight.
Whoops.
I appreciate y'all tuning in.
Is fake. Oh. It's hard to find it. Anyways, I'm going to find that. And I started this because I really do think this is a spiritual battle. And if you were to go research Big Pharma, I think there are some evil spiritual stuff behind them. And why do you think my channel exists, where I say the better health you are to staying natural and taking care of it natural? Because I think that's how God intended it to be. And I will get into that more. I will totally get into that more and share that more on my podcast. But I want you to understand the battle that is ahead. And I want you to understand that the battle is real. And it's a spiritual battle and a physical battle. And we need to be clear on what we can be doing both ways. And so I hope that this has sparked your interest in gearing up and warring up for the battle. One, in prayer and getting educated. And two, knowing how to take care of your family naturally. And is all medication bad? No. But it takes that. We can't trust the media. And you have to be careful with who you go to see as a physician these days in a white coat. Because some of them you can't trust there either. They want you to roll up your sleeve, and you don't want to roll up your sleeve, and then they fight you when it comes to rolling up your sleeve. I have been dealing with this for years. Like, in my own personal health, I can tell you that with my going into menopause and bioidentical hormones, I have dealt with this with many physicians. I'll share more of that in another podcast. I hope that you keep listening and keep sharing and keep growing your health naturally. All right, I hope you enjoyed that clip from somebody. I did put it in the show notes. You can go to my Facebook and find it too, but I love that the FDA stands for fake dangerous additives. Here's another one people send me, and then we'll end it. But this one's pretty good, so I want you to stay tuned. My dogs think I'm talking to them or something every single time I'm like trying to do a podcast or a video. Okay, listen to this.
Cellular and molecular biology right here in the state of Michigan from University of Michigan Medical School. And so I'm very well versed in the science of both these mRNA gene therapy vaccines, this kind of technology, as well as what a vaccine is designed to do in the body, what it can do, what it can't do, and the fact that this is extremely complex science that has been oversimplified in the media to basically take away our freedom of choice. What I want to address today in this limited time is the fact that vaccine requirements and mandates are based on the faulty assumption that the vaccines in question prevent transmission of the pathogen, right? Does the vaccine for DTaP prevent transmission? No. Does the vaccine for flu prevent transmission? No. Do the vaccines for COVID prevent transmission? No. In fact, they were never designed to do that. All right, so you're asking, what about this 95% effectiveness? If you look at those clinical trials, they do not say that they prevent transmission. They expressly say that they're measuring whether they attenuate symptoms. So they're 95% effective based on their clinical trials at attenuating symptoms for the first variant, which is essentially gone in our population. Right now, the predominant variant is the Delta, and CDC Director Walensky basically said that these vaccines have no ability to prevent infection by and transmission of the Delta variant. So our policy needs not to be built on the hope of what we think something we want it to do, but what the data actually tell us. So do the vaccines prevent the virus from infecting and replicating in the nose and nasopharynx? No. They've only been shown to prevent that replication in the lungs. They're different. The mucosa is very different than the lungs. It's very different than the blood. You inject it to the blood, you make antibodies in your blood. The virus isn't infecting your blood. It's infecting your mucosa, and you don't produce any IgA to neutralize it. In fact, recent studies have shown that the vaccinated, especially with the Delta variant, and the unvaccinated have similar amounts of virus in their nose and throat. In Barnstable, Massachusetts, the CDC tracked an outbreak of 469 cases of COVID. 74% occurred in fully vaccinated, and 4 out of 5 of those hospitalized were vaccinated. All right, so maybe they are mandating this because they just didn't know with the COVID. And so my main complaint is with our health agencies and the CDC, who basically know better and are misleading the public. So let's look at DTaP, which the scientists and the CDC have known since 2014, that the acellular pertussis vaccine does not prevent people from getting infected with the pertussis bacteria and passing it to others. In fact, it was never designed to do that. The vaccine was designed to neutralize the pertussis toxin. Pertussis, we know it as whooping cough. It can be fatal for children under 6 months. So neutralizing this toxin saves lives, all right? I'm not gonna debate that. But what it doesn't do is neutralize the bacteria. So what happens is fully vaccinated children go to daycare, they pick up that bacteria, and they come home and they give it to their newborn brother or sister. They get deathly ill, and they go to the hospital. Hopefully, our medical professionals are able to save them. But who do they blame? Now the CDC is blaming anti-vaxxers for the limitations of this vaccine design. I suggest that they be transparent and tell parents that although it is preventing severe disease in their children, it is not preventing transmission, because we have created a whole class of asymptomatic pertussis carriers who are increasing the disease. Now, the old DTP vaccine that many of you who are my age or older got did prevent transmission. When we switched to the safer acellular version, they knew that it was never designed to prevent transmission. It was safer, it had less adverse events, but pertussis cases have gone through the roof. There's a resurgence in pertussis because of the design of the vaccine, and the vaccinologists know this. They're trying to address it, and so we cannot mandate that something that does not prevent transmission. All right, what about the flu vaccine? Well, they have shown that basically there's no difference, there's no statistical difference if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you get the flu or not. But it's even worse because although that first year it is somewhat effective, it's about 65% effective at preventing symptoms in you, after that it actually has negative efficacy. And I want to address this because it's very important. Vaccines are made to a specific variant, and when that variant mutates, the vaccine no longer recognizes it. And so it's like you're seeing a completely new virus, and because that's so, you actually get more severe symptoms when you're vaccinated against one variant, and then it mutates, and then your body sees the other variant. So there's the potential, and the science shows that, in fact, with the flu, if you get vaccinated in multiple years, you are more likely to get severe disease, you are more likely to have more viral replication, and you are more likely to be hospitalized, both in adults and in children. We are seeing the same thing in COVID with the Delta variant. And so we are mandating that people get a vaccine that could actually make them more sick when they're exposed to the virus. In fact, this week, a paper came out, and what it showed is that with this Delta variant, when you're vaccinated, your body makes antibodies that are supposed to neutralize the virus, but they were supposed to neutralize the old variant. When they see this new variant, what they're doing is they're actually, the antibodies are taking the virus and helping it infect the cells. Ooh. All right, that science was just published this week. We need to be looking at the science, and we need our policy to reflect the science, and we also need it to reflect our rights. Okay. And so, as a PhD who knows the science, I'm in the category of the most vaccine-hesitant group. Yes, PhDs are the most vaccine-hesitant, followed by people who have less than a high school degree because they know what they don't know and they don't trust their government. And many people, the other group that is very vaccine hesitant, are African Americans. 70% of African Americans have not taken this vaccine. Why? Because they don't trust their government. Do they have reason not to trust their government? Yes. Well, between the years of 1930 and 1970, the CDC conducted the Tuskegee experiment, where they took untreated males with syphilis and they refused to treat them. Even after antibiotics became available, they still did not treat them, and they did not tell them that they had syphilis. They told those people that they were there to secure their health, and they did not secure their health. They abused them. You say, well, that was in the past, although I don't think 1970 was that long ago. Well, in 2012, whistleblower William Thompson came forward and said, we published a study that said MMR does not cause autism, but we lied. In fact, we shredded data that showed that when black boys are vaccinated on time, they have increased rates of autism diagnosis. And we shredded it and we left it out of the paper. As an African American and a PhD, I want to ask each of you, are we going to exclude 70% of African American people from the workforce and from education? All right, my ancestors did not work this hard. I come from a family that worked very hard, and I'm very aware that my privileges are dependent on the work of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and I have great respect for these people that put me where I am. And yet you're telling me that my son will not be able to be educated if, based on the history of African Americans in this country, that he doesn't want to be vaccinated? All right, so I will leave you with that question. Who are we going to exclude from the workforce? Are we going to continue with discrimination and segregation in the United States of America? Thank you.
I hope that you can hear me okay. And I think that this was a great one that someone sent me, and I don't know who she was representing, and it was on Instagram, and of course they totally dropped this, and it didn't get that many views because they're going to censor it. And I literally was in a Facebook group and we're having a great discussion about the jab, and everything was gone, taken down, just gone. So quite intriguing. I hope that this sparks some interest, and I'd love to get your comments. I'd love to have a review, and I'd love for you to share my content. That's how you can support me. Thank you.